You're saying the purpose of this material world is Krishna's enjoyment.
Yeah, that's
I wouldn't say that. I just say he just, like some people, like some philosophers say, Krishna just created the world and went to sleep. He went somewhere. But that's why there's some Jewish rabbi wrote a book 20 years, 30 years ago, I don't know, whatever, 40 years ago. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because he made this proposal. Well, God, you know, he wound up everything. I mean, he created this universe. And now he's just not paying attention. Now he's off on his own somewhere. And actually, the guy's right. The guy actually is right. But he didn't understand about karma. He didn't understand the law of karma. So he was blaming everything on God. Oh, God, you know, these are good people and you're making them suffer. So although he's a spiritualist, he's some kind of rabbi or some kind of spiritual person, supposedly. He actually became an offense. He wrote a whole book to make offenses against God because of his misunderstanding and not understanding God. It's a fact that this whole world has a source. It's Mahavishnu. It's manifested and unmanifested. Now, the purpose of it is, I haven't really read anywhere that the purpose that he's getting pleasure out of our birth and death. I have not read that anywhere. People, maybe you're saying that. Oh, this is because you're asking, what is the purpose of this material world? It doesn't have any purpose. The only purpose is that you can get liberated. This material world is good because you can get out of this world and get liberated if God favors you. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. It just goes on. It's an endless, endless karma, endless cycle of karma. This we read in the Shastra. The jivas are just bound in an endless cycle of karma, moving from one universe to another universe since beginningless time. They use terms like, oh, this is the play of the Lord. This is the play of the Lord. This is Srishti Leela. Because Leela means pastime. So we think pastime means enjoyment. But just like, you know, I create a factory. Am I enjoying that factory? Mm-hmm. Not really. I get money from that factory. I have a factory to crush stones. And I get big boulders and I crush them into small stones and make roadways or gravel or all these things. So that factory is not a source of my pleasure. My wife is a source of my pleasure, and my children, and my money, and my travels, and my body, and my friends. That factory is that I created this factory, and it's going on. But all I get from that factory is I drive some money and get some profit. So I don't feel good with this idea that Krishna's enjoying the material world. God's enjoying. He's in yoga nidra. Mahavishnu, because the world we're talking about is a material world. And it's Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Shiradaksha Vishnu. So they're just, he's enjoying with his Lakshmi, with his goddess of fortune, his energy, and this whole thing is going on. The whole world is all going on by his energies, his unlimited energies. Birth and death and disease and suffering and murder and rape and robbery and haves and have-nots and pestilence and war, it's all going on. It's not that he's a sadist. We have a word in English, sadist. It means one who gets pleasure in torturing others. Because oftentimes people say, oh, this God is nasty. And they blame everything on God. Anything wrong in this world is God's fault. Anything that's right in this world is my creation. I did it. My organization, my kingdom, my government, my politics, my management. I made it right. We can't blame God for anything. We're just moving in the modes of nature. It's his modes of nature. It's all his. If we want to blame him, we can blame him. But where does that take us? It doesn't take us anywhere. It doesn't solve the problem. We're bound. We're locked up with a ball and chain by the modes of nature. That's the ball and chain by shackles and straitjackets. We can't do anything. Whatever we're doing is what God is making us do. So, you know, that's just, why is he, why? Because these are all the material questions. The why, we want an answer to everything. Why? We want a cause of everything. So there's no answer why. Why does the material world exist? It just exists. But the purpose is that The jivas here in the material world, by the mercy of God, if they get it, and that's what the meaning of mercy is, there's no cause. You can't do anything to get it. The material world is a facility where someone can actually get out. That's the fact. But, you know, falling, being envious in God, all that is some type of fairy tale to give some kind of simplistic understanding of how we got here. But we're just here, eternally here. We're just coming and going like the waves in the ocean. This body and that, we ride in one wave, which is called a body. And that body crashes on a shore, which is called death. Then we pick up another body and ride on that body. The Atma is eternal. It's just going body to body, planet to planet, country to country, universe to universe, and an endless, endless sojourn of time. There's no beginning to it. There's no end to it. It's endless. It's eternal. It's nitya. The material world is nitya. The jiva is in the material world are nitya. The spiritual world is nitya. The jiva is nitya. The spiritual world are nitya. The only difference between the nitya spiritual world and the nitya eternal material world is that the mercy of God can come here by His kripa, and we can leave this nitya world and go to that nitya world. The jiva is always nitya. Never has a beginning. It's nitya. If you say, when does the jiva begin, then you have to say, when did God begin?
Yeah.
We're part of God. He's eternal, so we're eternal. But we're eternally here. Who did it? He did it. He did everything. So now what? He also wrote the Bhagavad Gita. He also spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And he also wrote the Vedas. Do you want to hear what he has to say? He says, wake up. Tamasimam jyotirgama. Tamasimam jyotirgama. You're in ignorance. I know, but it's your ignorance. Yeah, I know it's my ignorance. I put you in ignorance. Now I'm giving this knowledge. And the book's in front of you. The book's in front of you telling, come out of ignorance. Tamasimam agama. Agama is a Hindi word. Agama means to go, to come, to go. Agama, go out of this ignorance. Come to God. Come to knowledge. Come to light. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara. Krishna is the sunshine. Why are you running into the darkness? Why are you running away from God? Run to God. I mean, in all the clouds of ignorance and confusion about sadhana and sadhya, when you actually get real knowledge, then everything actually becomes very beautiful and very perfect. And then you don't have any grudges, you don't have any anger. It's just, okay, Krishna, whatever you want, it will be. Thy will shall be done. It's so perfect. It's like a sutra of the Bible, New Testament. Thy will shall be done on earth. In other words, it's Krishna's, everything is Krishna's will. Oh, so you're, some people hear that. Oh, so you're saying that Krishna's making me murder these people? I'm a terrorist, I'm murdering all these people? Yeah? Well, Krishna's making me get my head cut off with the guillotine as a punishment? Yes? And Krishna's giving me another body now and a dog because I live like a dog as a human being? Yes. So now what? Oh, well, I guess I'll bark. Because I'll start, rope, rope, I'm a dog. So you can speculate and you can, and Brahma himself, Brahma is very intelligent. He has four brains. He has a four-brain computer. You have one Apple computer, he has four. And he says, yeah, in the Brahma Stuti, chapter 14, of 10th canto of Bhagavatam, it says, Gyane priyasyam urupasya namante eva. He says, the shruti beater. He says, you can study all the shrutis and all the smritis and have so much gyan, but I realize that with all this gyan and all this knowledge, you can never understand Krishna only by surrender. Only if you get, he says, leshanugrita. Leshanugrita. If you get a little lesha anugraha, if you just get a little bit of mercy, you can understand who you are. You can actually understand who is God. Everybody on this planet, every human being on this planet has heard of something called God. Whatever the word in their own language, Ishvara, whatever. In Russian, in French, in every language, Urdu, Persian, Sanskrit, Hindi, everywhere there's some concept of Ishvara, of God, supreme being. But understanding. Most everyone's in tamasi, mam, jyotirgama. They're covered in ignorance because they want to be in ignorance. That's why we say things like this. Krishna is merciful. We can say Krishna is cruel. Yes, Krishna is cruel. Let's start. People are starving. Krishna is cruel. There's wars. Krishna is cruel. The 3-year-old kid got run over by a truck. Krishna is cruel. All these crimes, we can blame them all on Krishna. That's okay. Krishna is cruel. And you just emphasize how God is so cruel, and there's death and disease and so much suffering and terrorism. So it's all God's fault. It's all His will. He's cruel. Okay. Yes, He is. But what about, that's one part. What about this part? He's also compassionate. He's also merciful. He's also loving. He's also kind, kinder than anybody. Yoga Shema Bahamiham. If you become His devotee, He says, I do everything for you. I care, because you're trying to love me, then I'll give you everything. He says, He has mercy and compassion. It's unlimited. Ananta Kripa. Ananta Kripa. Ananta Anugraha. So that's also God. So God is cruel and terrible, and He's also beautiful, sweet, kind, loving. So how do you want to take it? Which God do you want? Do you want to live with this God for eternally in the material world, suffering and complaining all the time about God? Or do you want to live with this God eternally in the spiritual world, lovingly serve Him and relishing the rasa of ecstasy in His loving service in Goloka Vrindavan? That choice is yours if Krishna gives it to you. If not, just keep cursing God. Blame everything on God. That's correct. God is, I'm blaming everything on God. God is making me do everything. That's true. Now what? So if you meet a devotee, he'll say, yes, God, but then people think, because people have the idea that everything they're doing for themselves is for enjoyment. We want to be enjoyers. Our nature is to enjoy. It says, that's why the saintly people, it says, they see the world. The saintly people, they are aptakam and atmaram. They have no desire to fulfill. They're atmakam. They have no independent calm or desire. They're atmaram. They're completely blissful, fully satisfied, and fulfilled within themselves. They don't need anybody of this world. They don't need anything in this world because they've realized God as Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan. But how do they feel if they have karuna and they're compassionate? They look at the world from the top of the mountain in the Himalayas. They look down into the valley and all the people suffering birth, old age and disease and unlimited anxieties, unlimited miseries and difficulties and problems and hang-ups and all these things. And then they say, oh, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Vishwam, universe, Purna, complete Sukhayate. Let everybody in the universe be happy. Let everybody be happy. So then the yogis come out of meditation and the sages come out of their samadhi and they go among the people and they preach about God, the prophets, the preachers, the rabbis, the holy men, the Sufis, whoever they are, to help the people. Because they've contacted God in their own way, in their own context of realizing God. And they found something. So they found the other side of God. Not the cruel side and the terrible side, but the sweet, loving, kind, intimate side. So I am at perfect peace with myself. I am at perfect peace with my mind. All my questions are answered. All my doubts are removed. I'm completely clear in my brain. I'm not saying I'm praying or anywhere, anything like that, but I'm completely clear in all my conceptions and my understandings. I don't have any clouds of ignorance about tattva or siddhanta. And minor points about bhajan or whatever, and I clarify those with my teachers. But by mercy of Guru and Krishna, I have some understanding of the truth.